Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Friday. Hope you had a great week. Hope you're having a nice weekend lined up for you. Nick Caserio, Texans executive vice president and general manager, met with the media yesterday. He's going to come on with us the week after the draft. So the next time you hear from him with Seth and I will be following the Texans draft in about, probably a week or 10 days or so, thereabouts. I liked hearing this yesterday. And, I think this cut from Caserio here, Seth, is a sign of just how much progress the Texans have made in the last couple of years, but especially in the last year. This is the big jump they made in 2023. Here was Caserio on what the constitution of the team is, what he feels like it should be heading into the draft.
If we had to go out there and play a game, we'd be able to put a team out there, not necessarily have to rely on the draft to, say, add a player. Like, I think whoever we draft, hopefully they'll come in here and create a role and a niche for themselves. It's probably going to be hard to make this team or make a significant impact, and, hopefully that's a good thing. But by the same token, there's a lot of things that are going to happen between now and September.
So that, and hopefully it's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's not a good thing. It's a great thing. Think about this team the last 2 years, Seth. There was a game in 2022. I don't remember which game it was, but I just remember that I remember the starting defensive tackles in the game were Thomas Booker and Kurt Heinisch. Thomas Booker, a fifth-round rookie, and Kurt Heinisch, an undrafted rookie. And that was symptomatic of the team that day. That day, they started like eight rookies in 2022. I don't remember what game it was. I just remember it happening. And then last year, you had a rookie starting quarterback and still more rookies all over the field. Juice Scruggs, Tank Dell, Will Anderson, Jarrett Patterson, Henry Toa is playing a role. Those things.
Yeah. No, and I think, honestly, if you go back the last several years, really starting with the offseason that Brian Gain was fired until now, there were various times, there's one offseason where well after the draft, there was no actual nose tackle on the team. You talk about being able to line up and play a game. They didn't even actually have a nose tackle on a team that ran a 3-4 defense. It was really there were some huge deficits. Now, I think as soon as people heard Nick say that, immediately in your mind you go to, well, what about all these weak areas of the team? And that's he does too. I think it's. I don't think that they're super, super happy about the defensive tackle position right now, but they did go out and they signed Fatakasi, they signed Tim Settle, guys that you're comfortable starting in a game. And guys that, frankly, like every Super Bowl caliber team has a few guys on there at least that are journeyman types at their position. But right. You got to have a guy that's at least that you can trust. And I think, like, you're not slotting in an undrafted rookie free agent or anything right now in any of those spots.
Well, and I think even once the draft is over, given where they're picking, they're not picking in a spot where you go, well, this guy's a starter day one, whereas they have been the last few.
Right.
You draft Derek Stingley Jr. with the third pick. He's a starter day one. You know, you draft C.J. Stroud. The quarterback's different, but that guy's not. Like, C.J. Stroud, you could tell 2 days into camp, that's your starter. Will Anderson is going to be starting for you, all those things. They don't pick till the 42nd pick. So you're not picking till 42. You've got a roster that has really been augmented over the last couple of years. And like that to me, like that, Seth, you point out the only spot on this team where I think a rookie, I think there right now on this team, there are only two spots on the entire team that I could see a rookie starting for the Houston Texans. And that is at corner opposite Derek Stingley. Or on the interior of the defensive line, if they draft a kid with 42 or 59, and he really shows, and starting on the interior of the defensive line in D'Amico's scheme and system and the way he handles things is sort of just a label more than it is any sort of accomplishment because he rotates everybody. But as far as like getting into the mix, they have a roster that's way better. They have so few weaknesses right now, like true weaknesses, like Achilles heels, and they don't pick till 42. They're not picking anywhere in the draft where someone gets quasi-anointed as a starter day one.
Yeah, I would add left guard to that. I think it's a wide-open competition at left guard, and I don't feel comfortable. Now, this is where the one part I would disagree with Nick is that you're also projecting that Juice Scruggs is going to be a good center, and I feel confident about Juice Scruggs at center, but when you talk about being comfortable walking out and playing a football game, that interior offense, that center and left guard position versus really good defensive linemen and good inside linebackers versus the Ravens just destroyed you. So that's the one area where, like, either Kenyon Green's got to be healthy and awesome, or Patterson's got to be healthy and awesome, or maybe a rookie comes in. There's some people like this draft for interior offensive linemen as you get a little past the first round.
Yeah.
So that might be a guy that they draft and maybe they over. I could see them quote unquote overdrafting a guard just because they're chock full of guards from the third round on. Mm-hmm. All right, but the Texans could really use a guard, so maybe they take a swing on one a little bit earlier.
If they use a second round pick on an interior offensive lineman, I think that guy has a real good chance of starting. Oh, you're right about that. I think. I think that's a sign of progress, though, that Nick is like, man, it's going to be tough for rookies to come in and start or make a contribution, you know?
The one thing he said that where I got grumpy old man-like on this was, and Nick is really pragmatic of a lot of this stuff. He doesn't seem to let it affect him emotionally. But he said that this year, for whatever reason, rookies don't seem physically ready. because a lot of agents, this is where agents are sometimes the worst people on earth. A lot of agents are worried that their guys might get hurt before the draft, so they told them to back off on their workouts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is everybody so damn brainwashed by Instagram videos and everything now that they think the only way to work out is to be like jumping off of two-story ledges and plyometric, like explosive stuff that's going to get you injured?
They are brainwashed.
Working out in a safe way is not the same as like sit your ass on a couch, put yourself in bubble wrap so you don't get injured before the draft. These guys, so this is what happens. You come into rookie, if you're not in shape by the time you get to OTAs, then all of a sudden your body is fatigued and you're not learning as well as you can during this offseason stuff. Then these same jackass kids that aren't in shape get 4 or 5 weeks off before training camp begins. They come into training camp, they're out of shape, all this damn GPS tracking they do these days tells you that you're going to, the guy's got to sit out because he might pull a hamstring. And then, boom, you've lost your whole rookie year. Oh, come on, agents. Get your crap together.
Yep.
This is why they don't give a damn about your football team. They just don't give a single damn about your football team.
They give a damn about their commission.
They don't give a single damn about your
They're a salesman. Yeah. They're about their commission. They want their 4% or whatever it is.
I got to get my 3%, so don't do anything.
Yep.
The hay is in the barn as far as me getting paid.
Yep.
So just don't do anything.
They did a ranking of NFL rosters, I believe on The Athletic. My link's not working right here right now. Overall rosters 1 through 32. And I thought it was interesting that I thought it was interesting. The Texans are 11th on here, so that's major progress. I mean, you're talking about a team that's been in the high 20s, low 30s for the last 3 years.
Did you get it, or do you want me to read it? Did you
get it? What outlet is it from?
The Athletic. The one from, got on here.
I can't tell. I can't click the link right now. I didn't.
Know. Oh, you didn't even.
I don't even know what the outlet is. Yeah. Oh yes, if you can read it.
All right, this is what they say about the Houston Texans with the 11th ranked roster. Quarterback C.J. Stroud looks like a bona fide star, and the Texans have compiled a bunch of playmakers around him on his rookie contract. They have some issues on defense, as no position other than edge ranks better than 14th. Oh, dear. Well, three of those groups rank 24th or worse. Wait, how many groups are there on the defense? I'd be shocked if they don't focus on defense early in the draft, because he doesn't show the actual splits or anything on here. So if they're saying three of those groups rank 24th or worse, they've probably broken it down into safeties, cornerbacks,
off-ball linebackers, edge rushers, interior defensive linemen. I think there's probably five categories, right?
So probably interior defensive linemen.
So which of the three are in the bottom quartile of the bottom quartile?
It's either off-ball linebacker or cornerback.
I would say.
Which I'm guessing it's cornerback because Derek Stingley only played half the season last year, and then you've got two guys who are. The two guys who are listed first and second on your depth chart right now are guys who are both currently on their third respective teams.
Yeah, I would say the secondary is probably taking some in these rankings. You know, the safety play wasn't great last year. Jimmy Ward was banged up. You just nailed what corner looks like. And interior defensive line is not one that's flush with a whole lot of playmaking right now. I would guess that they said edge is the only one better than 14th. I would guess their edge rushers are in the top five. Between Danico Autry, Daniil Hunter, and Will Anderson is probably top five. Off-ball linebackers probably 14th, like middle of the pack with Christian Harris and Azeez Alshire, maybe.
Depending on like how they're grading these things, Christian Harris was getting like I personally wouldn't have graded Christian Harris very well in the first third of the season, and then he got way better after that.
Right.
But yeah, it depends. And then I mean, whoever's on the you know what if they're looking at Sam linebacker, whoever's even on the depth chart at this point. I'm guessing it's Toa Toa. Like, yeah, Toa Toa did not play well last year.
True.
As a rookie. He's got. I'm not saying he can't play well. He was not going to be in the running for rookie of the year. He's got a few things he's got to clean up, and very well might. But yeah, looking at them objectively right now, you can't grade them that high.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that the Texans are 11th in this roster grading exercise. And they're third on the Super Bowl odds board, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so the impression of them is certainly in the betting community, and I think in the NFL community at large. Like, I think if you were to poll, like, all the national NFL people on ESPN and CBS, Fox, The Athletic, whatever, the Texans would come in higher than 11th on power rankings. They would be a top 10 team. I think it says a lot, like the disparity, Seth, between where they're perceived to be on the Super Bowl odds board and where they're at in terms of roster constitution. Because I don't think the Athletic is saying anything unfair about the roster constitution with the Texans. They've got holes still.
They have holes.
I think it says a lot about how much is tied up in C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
And how much is tied up in D'Amico's ability to try to coax something out of this defense through him and his staff, you know.
Yeah, and the quarterback alone, you know, is good for five or six spots up or down in any kind of power ranking. Yep. You know, it's good for 6 to 10 wins per year, depending on how bad your backup is.
Yep.
So I think the other thing, too, is what you hope, and this is what happens all the time, this isn't a Texans exclusive take or anything. If you do improve on defense, because of the addition of Daniil Hunter and Danico Autry and those guys, there tends to be a shine put off on the other players here. You improve the pass rush up front, all of a sudden your safeties don't look as bad. If the pass rush up front is good, then all of a sudden your linebackers are a little bit better in coverage, which helps out your safeties, and those guys grade out better. So there's a synergistic effect with a lot of this where you get better grades and appraisals of players based on just a few guys wreaking havoc up front, and hopefully you get that effect too.
Yeah. O-line, you know, they talked exclusively about, other than Stroud, about the defensive side of the football. And it sounds like they feel like this defense is middle of the pack at best, right? When you got three position groups that are in the bottom quartile. But offensively, where do you expect this to be? Fill in the blank. The Texans will be a top blank offense this year. You know, 10, 5.
7.
Top seven.
Seven. I think that's the receivers are just going to be too much of a headache in so many ways. It's not like a magical master key that gets you a Super Bowl championship or something, but it creates a lot of headaches. I think the run game gets better just as long as those three receivers are healthy, because you got to put, if you're a defense, if you got Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, and Nico Collins out there on the field, and you're a defense, you've got to put a lot of light bodies out there on the field.
Yeah.
You know, you've just got to, you cannot have your crowbar wielding run stuffers, your big nickel, anything like that. You got to get people who can rush the passer. You got to get guys who can cover all of that. And that makes it easier to run the ball, obviously. And then you hope also that just by virtue of being in the second year in the system, there's a lot of evidence that Kubiak Shanahan systems do a lot better with the run game in the second year. You know, it took Kubiak himself a few years to really get it going the way he's capable of doing here in Houston. So I think that's going to be better just by virtue of familiarity with the system, and then hopefully an upgrade or a help out of Kenyon Green, whatever it is at left guard.
Yep. Text message says, super pumped, got selected to attend the unveiling of the uniforms. Thanks, Sean. I don't know if I did anything to do that, but you're welcome. But I guess I've gotten asked this a lot by people. Have they notified the people that have won tickets to the uniform party on Tuesday night? And I guess this would indicate that the answer is yes. If someone
at least
has said,
some people they
at least,
have.
Yeah, yeah. At least this person they have. So so there you go. Yeah, if you're somebody who's
hey, where's that going to be? Just be sure you tell me on Tuesday morning.
I will. I'll tell you now, but I'll remind you again. In fact, if you want to go together, we can go. You
know? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You pick me up.
Okay. Yeah, I'll pick you up. 713 Music Hall is where it is.
What time does it start?
That's a good question. That I don't know. I don't
More
know.
Importantly, what time is it over?
Whenever we want it to be.
I've got a big day on Tuesday. I'm going to be shooting Bayway commercials in the afternoon.
Oh,
I'm
going to
go. I'm going to go to the jersey unveiling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who are the Astros playing on Tuesday?
They're on the road next week.
Yeah,
they play.
Oh, they got an 8-game road trip.
Yeah, yeah. They play the Cubs.
Team that, by the time they come back home, I'm assuming 78 pitchers will have pitched for the Astros.
you might have pitched by the time they. Come
I know.
Back home.
That's why I'm kind of worried. That's why I asked what the Astros are doing on Tuesday in case I get called up.
They called him from the pen. So that's on Tuesday. So it looks like they've started notifying people who's invited.
What are they
going
to? What do you think the contingency plan is if all of the uniforms have been leaked by then? Because there's right now, what is there? There's a helmet that's been leaked.
There's a helmet.
There's one of the uniforms.
Yeah,
so we still have three uniforms and two helmets.
There's some mock-ups that have been floating around that I've seen.
Yeah.
That have been floating around the internet that I'm like, hey,
yeah,
those look pretty close. You know,
oh,
like,
really? Okay.
But
you don't know which ones.
I don't. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, like, if you search anything hard enough, it's out there, I suppose. But yeah, the two that have been for sure leaked, the two leaks that have been acknowledged by the team.
Yeah.
Are the white jersey on blue pants uniform and the helmet yesterday, the color rush helmet with the big H on the side of it.
So there's still two. We've still got two helmets and three uniforms to see. Is that right? With the four total uniforms.
Well, the helmet that went with the white and the blue shirt, blue pants is the same helmet that goes with the blue shirt and the white pants.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So there's three helmets and four uniforms.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yep. So we've seen a helmet and we've seen a full uniform so far.
Okay.
Yep. And Tuesday, we'll see it all.
All right. My math brain isn't working.
Is that confusing?
I guess so. We'll talk about it off air.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. They did a redraft of the 2023 draft, and I think this any of these redrafts they do of last year's draft, I think says something about C.J. Stroud. That's actually been said pre-draft about other quarterbacks, including one in this draft. This is proof you've got one now, Texan fans. We've got that for you coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Appreciate you tuning in. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. They did a... I mean, we're inside a week to the draft. We're 1 week away from the draft if you're a Texan fan, because they're picking at 42 and 59 right now. Nothing will ever match the excitement of last year. I mean, it's going to be, the draft party is going to be fun next week, but man, picking CJ Stroud and then trading up to get Will Anderson was something else. And yeah, it's played out, I think, even better than the most optimistic Texan fan could have thought. The Athletic did a, Nick Baumgartner, who's one of their draft experts, did a redraft of last year. And I think this to me is like, I love this indicator of where we're at with CJ Stroud. And I know it's been 1 year, things can happen, but boy, if I had to buy stock in somebody just knowing their makeup and how important football is to them, and just how quick a study they are, everything, I'd buy stock in CJ Stroud, obviously. You know, it gets talked about a lot, like this guy's a generational quarterback, that guy's a generational quarterback before the draft. Like, it got talked, Trevor Lawrence. That's what he was described like. He was anointed a number one overall pick practically the time he set foot on campus at Clemson. Andrew Luck, it took a little longer. You know, he went to Stanford, but by the time he was done at Stanford, generational prospect. CJ Stroud, when you do a redraft of last year, Seth, like a redraft is when you take all the, this is with the benefit of a year's worth of information now, and Carolina's on the clock at number one. Well, hell yeah. Like, this is a no-brainer to the extent that a generational prospect is before he sets foot on the field. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, you don't,
right.
Like, okay, well, it's CJ Stroud at one, and now the discussions begin. Like, that's
right.
That's what you have now, and you've got evidence that he's that guy, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's nice. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's nice to have the benefit of hindsight.
Yeah, always. Yeah.
Because there's going to be, like, I don't know, five quarterbacks drafted in the first 10 picks this
Dude.
Year. And... the chances are that one of them might be good.
Maybe.
You know? The chances are. Like, that's without any, you know, and there's just as good a chance that zero will be good as there is that three will be good.
Yep.
You know, like, it's, so, from this moment forward, as long as CJ Stroud keeps improving on the trajectory that I expect him to, because he's just, all the normal things that create sophomore slumps in an individual, CJ doesn't really show the capacity for that.
Yeah.
So, I just, every time somebody whiffs on a quarterback, you just have to appreciate the fact that you, for however it came to be, you ended up landing the right quarterback.
Yep. What's interesting in this redraft the Athletic did is the Texans are picking two, as they were last year, as they earned last year. In this one, they're still picking at 12. There's no trades that have been made, like the Will Anderson trade. Like, it's all what the draft order looked like before the draft.
Yeah.
So let's pretend that a trade up to three is not available. They've got the Texans taking Bryce Young with the second pick. And so if, let pretend you can't move up.
This is a redraft based on last year's results.
Right.
Yeah, like, if you're going to go back in time, like, what's the smart thing to do?
Yeah.
What I'm saying, it's like, how the hell are the Texans still taking Bryce Young?
That's my question.
If we've got the benefit of last year's benefit of last year's results. I'm more insulted by this than I was with any of the pre-draft speculation that the Texans were going to take a quarterback at all.
Yeah.
That, like, oh, no, Bryce Young looked completely lost. He looked even tinier than we thought. Yeah. His mechanics are a mess. But, yeah, the Texans are dumb enough to still take him second. My ass.
Look, can I read their explanation and see if it holds water with you here? Let's see if it changes your mind.
I suppose.
I considered, this is Nick saying this, Nick Baumgartner. I considered Anthony Richardson, oh God, and even Will Levis here at number two.
What the hell are you doing, bombhead?
However, bombhead. However, I think it's important for people to understand context of the situation Young landed in last season.
The Panthers were
a disaster across the board.
Were they?
Young's offensive line couldn't protect or consistently create room on the ground. Okay. CJ's wasn't, okay. The defense was sloppy. The head coach got fired mid-year. Young was better at the end of the year than he was at the start. And though there's nothing to celebrate about his rookie campaign, he was out there every week and is still the same highly intelligent processor who can make plays if he's given some help. So it's basically Carolina's fault, Seth, that Bryce Young was who he was last year.
Everything, it's always, this is the problem with, I see this with the draft Knicks sometimes. It's, this is where sometimes they, the ones that have actual football experience at least have an advantage over some of the ones that don't. And I don't, like, I'm not doing a whole, you know, like, you don't know because you didn't play. A lot of the draft Knicks people are, like, brilliant. But some of them have a tendency to, if one of their projections on a player doesn't work out, it's got to be the coach's fault. It's got to be that, like, well, they just weren't in the right system or what have you. And I can just tell you from personal experience, sometimes kids just suck. Sometimes they're just not good. Guys that everybody had projected to be a first-round offensive lineman, they get into camp and is like, as a defensive lineman going against some of these guys, you're like, oh, this guy's never going to make it.
Dude.
This guy sucks. Like, this guy's, he's not even, there's no part of him that wants this, man. This kid does, I don't know what he told them to fool them, but this kid does not want a damn thing to do with football. Sometimes it happens, man. Sometimes you just got to let it go.
This draft coming up next week is going to be a keep your receipts draft for the top four or five quarterbacks in this thing. Because there's a lot of gushing going on. There's a lot of criticism going on too, but a lot of gushing going on. And to your point, Seth, there's five quarterbacks going to get taken in the top 15, 16 picks, and at best, two of them are going to be good. At best, two of them are going to be good. You know whose opinion I want to know about Bryce Young? Steve Smith, former Carolina Panthers wide receiver. Like, what's his take about Bryce Young right now? Because I can tell you, remember Bryce Young's pro day? Like, Steve Smith, I think, practically had, like, his hand on Bryce's knee while he was talking to him.
It was uncomfortable. Like this is the pro day where, remember, the Texans, this is one of the indications that the Texans weren't going to take a quarterback at all, because they had, they sent precious few people to both Bryce Young and CJ Stroud's pro day.
Yeah.
And if at all, as for one of them.
As opposed to Carolina. Well, I'm sure they had people at Alabama's pro day. You know, like, it's.
But Carolina had their entire front office there. And that was, like, evidence that, man, you know, the Panthers, they're just, they get it.
Their
they
owner.
Get it.
The Panthers just get it. The owner was at those pro days.
Yeah.
David Tepper was there. All right, but Steve Smith.
So, Steve Smith, I had to cut, like, frankly, he talked to Bryce Young for 3 minutes. And this was after the pro day performance. Steve Smith was just smitten. Remember, Steve Smith, Carolina Panther, smitten with who he assumed would be the new quarterback. So he could not. I cut this down to like 50 seconds, and it was hard to do. It's hard to get this much drool off the computer. This is Steve Smith talking to Bryce Young after his pro day.
There's two things I know very well: orange juice and quarterbacks. Right? You were the most accurate and highest completion rate over the middle. But then, more than anything, just your quiet feet. I've seen bigger, more athletic quarterbacks not be able to anticipate the throw. Man, I just sat there and watched you, and I'll be 44 years old. I could have got out there and ran those routes just the way you were guiding the ball. It was remarkable. I mean, I'm just like, I can lace him up. I can't do nothing, but it just sure looked good watching it, man. What a wonderful, wonderful display. of why you deserve to be the first overall quarterback to be picked in this year's draft.
I really appreciate it. That means the world, especially coming from you.
Yeah, that is right.
He just wants to watch. You know? He's 44 years old. He just loves the way he wants to watch Bryce Young just, you know, guide that in there the way he does.
Can I just tell you, like, that I hadn't listened to that since the draft last year. That is 10 times weirder now that we've seen Bryce Young play in the NFL.
That is edited now. That's not, but it's, I did it without trying to make it any creepier than it already was. It was just too long. It was like 3 minutes. And the whole time Garoppolo is sitting there with this smile on it, this goofy smile on his face. Oh, like, you see how excited Steve Smith is?
Oh.
It's a genuine excitement.
That was wild, man. That was crazy. I haven't seen anybody get like that over Caleb Williams this year.
No.
Caleb, is Caleb's, like his kind of strange ethos that he has a more polarizing thing than Bryce Young's size?
I could see that's, oh, you know what? That's a great point, Sean. Bryce Young had the size issues. I do think that a lot of old school scouts, especially, but even I think, I don't even think it's old school or new school or anything. I think a lot of people saw Bryce Young in person and were a little bit taken aback by how small he is. And I can easily envision, like last year, I felt like there were a lot of people who weren't in any position to draft a quarterback, or who hadn't even seen Bryce Young in person, like the unnamed anonymous scouts and executives or what have you, that I think could see themselves. They wanted to believe that they themselves are like, I'm advanced and I know that height is overrated and all this stuff.
Yep.
I think it was very easy for them to say, oh yeah, Bryce Young's my guy. I think the guys who actually had to pull the trigger on it would be really nervous about it. Anytime you're doing anything unprecedented, and Bryce Young would be the smallest quarterback when it comes to height and weight, the smallest quarterback drafted in the first round since, God, I can't even remember what, it was like 1969, right?
Yeah.
And it would have been scary. So I think there were a lot of executives that if they're in that position would have taken C.J. Stroud just because on the size alone. But it's a fair comparison as far as Caleb Williams, his personality is one that's going to maybe rub Gen X and boomers the wrong way.
Right.
Where the younger coaches might just be like, ah, these kids are weird these days. What are you going to do? Big generation gap. You know, this is just it's the way kids are.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and there's no debate over Bryce Young being small, whereas I think that we went through those comments from those anonymous scouts yesterday, and there were some that viewed the way Caleb Williams handled himself in a positive light. They thought he had a toughness to him. There were some that thought that him going and crying to his mom after losing the last game of his college career was a sign that he cared so deeply about it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you can debate and discuss the Caleb thing. Bryce is small. There's no debating and discussing that, you know?
Right. Yeah.
That's data.
Bryce is small. You're going to have an opinion about that. As far as Caleb Williams' personality, I think maybe the better comparison there is C.J. Stroud and what people were saying about C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
That there were a lot of people that just – I think they didn't know what to make of – they didn't know what to make of C.J. Stroud. And I think there's some coaches – Bobby Slowick is one of them – that aren't afraid of guys that maybe have a little bit more of an edge to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the happy-go-lucky, rah-rah, hey, I'm a good boy type of stuff like that Bryce Young spits out – I don't need my guy to be like the citizen of the century in terms of just like, and I'm not like, because obviously C.J. Stroud's a good dude,
yeah.
But they don't have to be like everybody's favorite mascot. You know, they can be like, there's something to be said for a dude who's his own guy. And I think a lot more great quarterbacks throughout history were not like happy go lucky yes sir no sir all the time. There are guys that. They're very independent, and they've got their own brain and their own minds, you know?
Yep.
So, even a young Tom Brady, you hear the stories about a young Tom Brady, and he sounds kind of like a cocky little D-bag, you know?
Yes.
But that's what it was. It was if he were a first-round pick, people might have hated him.
Dude.
Because he would have been like, yeah, I'm going to come here. But Drew Bledsoe, screw him.
Dude.
I'm going to be the starter.
Watch the first couple episodes of the Dynasty documentary. Like,
yeah,
there is a weird edge to Tom Brady.
Right.
Even early on in his career, yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you.
He was going around telling teammates that he was going to beat Drew Bledsoe out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, kind of brazenly.
Yeah, yeah. It turned out he was right. It took an injury.
Oh, yeah, he's 100% right. But it's not, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times,
I know exactly,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, if you saw that in a scouting report, that, like, while he was talking trash about his teammate, yeah, you'd be like, oh, gosh, well, this can't be the guy. He's going to be a cancer.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, I put up a poll a couple days ago. We didn't get to this yesterday. Astros are off, so this is a good day to do this. I did the approval poll, the approval rating poll for Jim Crane. In classic wording of how they word the political approval polls, do you approve or disapprove of the way Jim Crane is handling his role as owner of the Houston Astros? This was a close one. Ooh. I can't believe it's this close, honestly, but we will get to it. I'll tell you what the results were coming up next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we'll do the 888 at the top of the hour. Yeah, the Texans have notified the winners of tickets to the uniform reveal. We had a bunch of people text in after that. Like, yeah, I got my. I also won the uniform reveal. Oh, 6:30 to 9:30, Seth, a texter is saying here.
6:30 to 9:30, sweet.
So 6:30.
We'll be home and we'll get a good 6 hours of sleep at least and be ready to go the next day.
Yep, right, good, my cup of cocoa before I go to bed, yes. 6:30 to 9:30. I don't know, 6:30 to 9:30. That feels like 6:30, Irish goodbye at like 8:55 or something like that.
You think the reveal is somewhere around 8:30 or 8:45?
Yeah,
or so,
well, they're getting, just to be clear, like the full uniforms are getting revealed on social media earlier in the day. Like, this is more like a celebration of the uniform.
Oh.
And a chance to see it in person. Yeah.
So okay.
More like touch a reason to get together. Yeah, yeah. And well, and I would imagine purchase it as well. It's probably.
Ooh.
Yeah. I've already had some people who didn't win tickets to it, like basically saying, what's your Venmo? Because I want you to get me one of this uniform or that uniform. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are we now? Where are the tattoos? Did we ever get any clarification
at this?
Now they said they said you can get tattoos.
Yep.
But they didn't say temporary tattoos.
No, they're real tattoos. They're real tattoos. And my understanding is there's only a few choices. You can't go up there and say, "Hey, here's this Daffy Duck with a Texans uniform. I'd like you to, you know, like there's it's very specific."
Here's a picture of my grandma.
Right.
We don't care about your grandma. This is for Texans logos and Texans.
Three choices: the H, some horns, or a logo. Screw your grandma.
Get a tattoo.
Yeah.
I bet it's going to be a pretty good tattoo artist.
They
went and yoinked out like 6 top chefs to work in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they didn't pull some dude out of prison to come give you these tats.
No.
Okay?
They probably. The prison tattoo artist, the most popular guy on the block. Yeah.
Hey, if the Texans want to really go there and really just, like, you know, really stand out.
You want an edge. Yeah.
Let's take a prison visit and get some prison tats while we're there.
Yeah,
we're reaching out to the community, and they can give back to us.
So who's
give
the
tattoo? Give them a sense of purpose.
Bob from Huntsville. Oh, he lives in Huntsville? Yeah, you could say that. Yeah.
For now.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. The tattoo artist will be there. It's free. So
a free tattoo?
I believe they're complimentary, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Yeah, you have to tell them though. I think ahead of time, like, because they sent out like a little survey, like, would you be interested in getting a complimentary?
Yeah, I'll check my email.
I know if I'm wrong, there's a million Texans people that listen to the show, so I know if I'm wrong, someone's going to check me on this. But whether or not it is like a free tattoo, if you're even like pondering a tattoo, like cost comes into play because their tattoos are expensive, man. Good ones.
We should start giving that. We should start doing that as a way to entice people to things like free tattoos.
Free tattoos. Did you?
I do notice that like the funniest thing, man, is I notice a lot of people these days. A lot of people with low tolerance for different hair colors, and yet at the same time, that person has as many tattoos on their body.
Yeah.
That if they had walked into their grandma's house 30 years ago, the grandma would have called the cops immediately.
Yes.
You know, like that is just not something that proper people do. So it's just it's shifting times. Or say 20 years from now, we'll all have tattoos and purple hair and be criticizing all these weirdos wearing, I don't know, wristwatches or something.
Right. How about the hotel we stayed at in Vegas for the Super Bowl having a tattoo parlor right there next to the elevators to go back to the rooms?
Yeah.
I would bet, because you know, that's what casinos do. They have these expensive shops with Louis Vuitton purses and watches and suits.
Somebody
and things
comes
like
into
that.
A lot of cash.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, hell yeah. Yeah,
a lot
I
of
totally
cash
see.
And a lot of alcohol. You know,
a lot
like
of
that's.
Cash, a lot of alcohol.
Right? Like,
$1,000 and look at that badass tattoo.
Right.
And they looked like they, based on, I based this on nothing other than the way they looked and dressed. They looked like pretty good tattoo artists.
They were. I actually went in and asked them about that because I was curious. I'm like, so how much would you, like, how much of the business that you get coming through here would you feel like is like impulse tattoo purchases?
Right.
And they thought like a majority of it was, especially because of the time of day that it takes place.
Yeah, they're not doing like a lot of it. They don't have that many, as many appointments like, as maybe a normal place.
Like at noon, you know, like it's a lot of people, you know, coming in, coming off the strip or whatever, you know,
there
stuff
is,
like that.
I do, like I'm kind of joking about the way they looked, except there is like a tattoo artist chic that's like kind of a cool look, you know. Usually, like, obviously, they got a lot of tattoos themselves, but then, like, a dude will have, like, a fade, fade, but with, like, really crazy hair up top or something and a neck tattoo. Yeah.
Would you feel better about getting a tattoo from a person with that look? The tattoo chic look that you describe?
Yeah, I would. I'm just trying to think of, like, it would be the opposite. It was like, okay, you know, don't trust a skinny chef. Like, I'm not going to trust a tattoo artist that doesn't look like a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
I need to,
That makes sense. Jim Crane. Owner of the Astros. To my knowledge, no tattoos on Jim Crane, but every time we see him, he's in a suit. Who knows? He could be inked from head to toe for all we know, Jim Crane. Put up a poll earlier this week, I did, on Jim Crane, because this season has gone a little sideways, and the moves that I think are at the very least perceived, if not to actually be the brainchild of Jim Crane, a few of them we know are because they didn't have a GM at the time, and he approves everything, right, especially big deals. So I posted, do you approve or disapprove of the way Jim Crane is handling his role as owner of the Astros? And before anybody gets uptight about the wording of the question, I had Seth Google how the wording is done on approval polls for political figures.
Right, the Gallup. This is Gallup the way Gallup poll. Phrases it. Yeah. They've been doing it for 60, 70 years.
The mecca of polling. And this is how they phrase their questions about approval ratings on presidents and whatnot. Do you approve or disapprove of the way Jim Crane is handling his role as owner of the Astros? Seth, I don't know if you've looked at this, but I know you love to play the guessing game.
Right.
Would you care to
you
guess?
You gave me the preliminary results the other day, and I'm guessing that and on something like this, the preliminary results are probably pretty close. I'm going to say 53% approval rating.
It's 53% disapproval rating. Yeah, it's 53 the other way. Well, 52 the other way. 52.3 the other way. 52.3 disapprove, 47.7% approve, and I can only imagine that the disapprove are people who are answering this question like based on basically the last 16 months as the owner.
Right. Well, you know, and it's interesting. The way the question is phrased, it is like it's very much in the present tense. And it's not a global assessment. It's not, hey, how do you feel about Jim Crane as an owner in the entirety? It's just how is he performing his job right now? I think there are a lot of people that have reservations about the way the front office is constructed, who gives input to Crane, how much of a GM is Dana Brown even. Like, all of that is what people are uncomfortable about. So I don't think it's not like a condemnation of Jim Crane as an owner, but I think there are a lot of people that just aren't comfortable with what What percentage disapproves?
52.3%.
So 52.3% just don't, they disapprove of the current scenario.
Yeah, I think that too. Like, it's to me, it's inarguable that he's been a good owner, like, over the course of his time of ownership. Like, you won two World Series and you're playing baseball in late October literally every year since 2017.
Right. So
he's a good owner by definition who is going through maybe the roughest patch that a good owner has gone through that I've seen. You know, I've said bad owners are all rough patches. Like, this is maybe the roughest patch I've seen a good owner go through.
Honestly, I think there you can draw a parallel between the Texans and the Astros in this regard when it comes to ownership. Without I don't like to dig in and speculate too much about, you know, people's personal lives or how they respond to things or anything. But like with the Texans, Bob McNair passed away. That's a big deal. You know, that's public record. And then there was a period of turmoil after that where it really took a while for Cal and then, you know, increasingly Cal and Hannah to find their stride. And I think that in a lot of ways, Jack Easterby showed up at the right moment as a guy who promised almost was like had the appeal of an easy button. You know, like, oh, this guy's going to show us how to do things differently and to do things in a certain way that'll set us apart and all that. And I think Bill O'Brien kind of was in search of an easy button in that regard too.
Mm-hmm.
And it just ended up being a huge mistake immediately in the aftermath of the owner passing away. So it takes a while to recover from stuff like that. I think with Jim Crane, they built up this incredible organization with Jeff Luhnow and AJ, you know, and then AJ Hinch midway through. And they go to World Series, ALCSs, everything. But then all of a sudden you find out that, man, the very thing that got us to where we are is Jeff Luhnow's ability to kind of detach from tradition or detach from convention might have also been the very thing that got us into this mess. Like, the hyper-competitive side that doesn't know how to balance the human side with it. So, like, if I'm Jim Crane, I'm thinking in that moment, all right, well, I got to restore some order to this, some sanity. I need some actual human beings, you know? I need some of the old school sentiment. And I feel like that's what he's battling right now, is like, all right, how do we keep the humanity in the organization, but also keep our edge analytically and with all that other stuff?
Yeah, for anybody that perceives that the Astros skewed too far the analytics way.
Yeah.
And boy, like, it's the end result is that you're winning a bunch of World Series, then I have a hard time feeling like you did anything too much. But I know the sign stealing and everything like that. The reaction, and I think this is part and parcel to the point you're making, Seth, he's gone way too far the other way by involving Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson and Craig Biggio. And now you got a GM who feels like he's got a – the feeling to me is like it's like an act of Congress to conduct GMing for the Astros now, because got all these cooks in the room who are clearly influential. Hell, they are forward facing. These aren't birdies that are whispering into Jim Crane's ear. Like, Jeff Bagwell is on the broadcast talking about the team in the present tense in first person, like he is a front office member at times during that broadcast. Reggie Jackson is doing podcasts talking about the philosophy of the Astros salary-wise and ejecting on Blake Snell and things like that. These are not people just injecting their opinion. These are people that I don't know if the organization is putting them out there like this, but they are out there like this, talking as if they are front office members of this team.
Well, and I guess, I think, again, it's a different group than the people who actually got the Astros to where they are.
Yeah.
You know, like when it came to the integral decisions and all of that, it's just a different group. So it's a much different methodology. I was calling everybody Chicken Little last year about it. And, you know, like, this is fine. Jim Crane knows how to separate it. He knows that. I feel like the Chicken Littles were closer to the appropriate level of concern than perhaps I was.
Maybe.
Because the other thing, remember what the Astros did, Sean? I mean, they fired damn near all their scouts. They were asking the scouts. So this is when Jeff Luhnow was there. Fired damn near all their scouts.
Yeah.
After having asked the scouts to videotape, like, do stuff that wasn't illegal, but that was very much frowned upon within the culture of scouting. And I think that's where they started to stray so far away from convention that Jim Crane probably got nervous at that too. So again, I mean, it's a loose comparison between what the Texans owners and what Jim Crane had to respond to. But I do think there's a little bit of turmoil in trying to redirect based on, like, just your personal feelings about what you want your organization to be like.
Yep, absolutely.
So I don't know, but in a lot of this obviously is going to change if you get health with your starting pitchers, and if Josh Hader reels it in and starts looking more consistently like he did last year, and Ryan Pressly finds himself, then everything will be fine.
Yeah, we'll see.
And maybe hitting with runners in scoring position, that would
help.
Nice.
That would help.
I'm trying to be, if I'm Joe Analytics, I'm not worried because the actual OPS is okay and everything, but it doesn't feel real comfortable right now.
Nope, it does not. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. On a Friday, someone on the text page here says that their tattoo artist charges $150 an hour. Okay, yeah. So then my question is, how many hours does it take to do a good tattoo? I have no idea. I have no ink. Do you have any ink at all? I have no ink at all. Zero.
I've got nothing.
Yeah.
I think, remember Dak Prescott got anesthetized to get that 8-hour tattoo.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
He had, like, multiple people working on him.
Yeah. Big project. Which
is, a lot of people wanted to call him a wimp for that.
Mm-hmm.
I never would.
No.
But
he had to. Face.
No, I guess it is. People did explain it to me. It was pretty crazy, the procedure he had. I mean, he had like multiple. It's something that when you've got that many people working on you on a tattoos, it's an insane level of pain. So it makes sense that sometimes people choose to just get knocked out and do it in one bunch. I just know that like the Samoans that get the traditional Samoan tattoo sit there like for like multiple days getting the most painful method ever to have the tattoo done.
Yeah.
So I can't, I don't know. I can't pass judgment on anybody because I don't have anything.
Nope.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.